This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Mark DiCamillo, who is the director of the Field Poll. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Hi, thank you.
You've just done a poll about Proposition 71, the stem cell initiative. What was the basic finding?
When we asked voters how they're intending to vote in the upcoming election, 46% are now on the yes side, 39% are on the no side, another 15% are undecided.
Now, I looked at the press release that you have for the results, and from what I can tell, from August to late September, the yeses went up by 1%, the noes went down by 3%, and the undecideds went up by 2%.
Right.
Does that mean that 2% of the people were in the no moved over to undecided?
I wouldn't look at it that closely. Obviously, each percentage has an error range around it. The way I would basically compare the two measures was that in August it was leading 45 to 42, and now that's a three-point advantage, and now it has a seven-point lead. There is a slightly higher undecided, but my interpretation is that it is marginally gained, and one of the other significant findings is that among those who had some prior awareness of Prop 71, and in this poll 50% of all likely voters said they had heard of Prop 71 before we read them the summary, those voters were in favor of it by a 5-3 margin, whereas voters who had not heard of the initiative and therefore were just hearing about it for the first time when we read it to them were opposed by a 4-3 margin. So interesting that people who have heard of it, probably through television and radio advertising, and I think there's even some direct mail that the yes side is using, are the more likely group to be in support of it, and that usually is a good sign that an advertising campaign is having some effect. So I would say that that's a significant finding from this poll.
Now, it says that 60% of the Kerry voters are in favor of it, while only 32% of the Bush voters, or likely voters,
right.
are that's essentially a 2-1 margin. Kerry has a pretty strong lead in the state. Does that mean, everything else being equal, that it's pretty certain to Prop 71 to Kerry because the Kerry voters are going to be there and they'll vote?
Well, again, I would just look at the margin of yes to no side support. Right now, there's a 7-point lead for Prop 71. Actually, Kerry's ahead by 9 points, so they do seem to be related to one another. Kerry is ahead in California, and this proposition is ahead. The problem with propositions, though, as opposed to a candidate race, is that undecided voters are problematic for a yes side. Usually undecided voters in the very late stages of a campaign usually cannot be counted on to vote in the same proportions yes to no as the others who have decided. Most undecided voters actually in the final week tend to vote to the no side because they're either not paying attention or they're confused or they just don't feel strongly about it, and a no vote is a safer vote. It doesn't change anything. It's a status quo vote. So as opposed to a candidate election where undecided voters usually split the same way as those who've already decided, proposition elections, really, it's important for the yes side, if it's going to prevail, to get above 50% in the final week before the election to ensure that it has a margin for victory. We'll see if that happens as we get closer to the election.
Okay, well, looking at it sort of from another point of view, is the fact that the margin of people favoring registered voters favoring the Prop 71 is growing means that it sort of has the big mo, and that
I wouldn't say the big mo, but it does have the characteristics that you would want to see if you have a big advertising campaign in effect, which it does. There's major amounts of money being spent on the yes side, not nearly as much on the no side, and among the voters who have heard of it or are aware of it, they're in favor. So the people they're connecting to seem to be responding well to the advertising campaign, and you presume that's going to continue. So as more voters hear about it, you might suspect that they may be pulled over to the yes side as well, although that's unknown, but that's one way of viewing the results. Sometimes late deciders decide differently than early deciders, so we'll have to wait and see. But again, the early indications are that the campaign on the yes side is having an effect.
But in fact, the fact that the people who know about it before you tell them about it are more in favor doesn't necessarily mean to you that they're sort of inclined to favor it and have sought out the information, but rather that they're kind of the neutral gel that's there and that they've been positively affected by the advertising campaign.
I think there's both. Obviously, people on their own go out and seek information. That's part of the people who are aware, but in a campaign with so many different propositions on the ballot, voters do need information from outside sources. One of them is TV advertising, since they're in front of their TVs a lot. Obviously voters will examine their voter pamphlets and seek out information in a proactive way, but advertising is powerful. There is no denying it, and it will continue to be powerful, and to the extent the Yes side has a big ad campaign, that's likely to have an effect.
Right. In fact, it has about $10 million, and the other side has about $100,000.
That's so. Right. That's the significant thing about this race, and that's why it's sometimes you see big advertising campaigns, and they don't have big effects.
Right.
For example, in the casino gambling initiatives, we just measured those. There was no change at all, even though there's been a huge amount of money on the Yes side for the various casino gambling measures, especially Prop 70. And there was no movement at all in the Yes side support, and no difference between people who had heard of it or not heard of it. So, again, it doesn't have to be that way. It is in this particular case.
So, in fact, it is when people have their minds made up about gambling already, they're not going to be affected by a big advertising campaign. But on a subject like stem cells, about which they may not be have a pre-existing opinion, then the television advertising can have an important effect.
Yeah, it also goes to the quality of the campaign itself, whether they're striking the right themes and voters are responding to it. So, it's a little more than that, but I do agree with that statement. Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at Table 3. Now, you asked people why they wanted to vote, why they planned on voting yes or why they planned on voting no, and there seemed to be a striking difference that all the yeses fell into two categories and the noes fell into a number of categories. What was
yeah.
that about?
Well, not all of them, but most
almost,
of them.
Right.
And 96% of the Yes side voters cited one or the other of two reasons. And they're very general reasons, but they certainly are the prevailing underpinnings of Yes side support. And they are that voters are supporting more medical research. They believe in medical advances. That 56% of Yes voters cited something along those lines, and then to help treat people, to find cures for diseases and ailments, to save lives, 40% cite that as the reason. There are other reasons mentioned, but none by more than 6%. The no side, on the other hand, is no real dominant answer coming back. There are a number of answers. For example, 26% of no side supporters say they oppose retrieving stem cells from aborted fetuses, or that they are pro-life or anti-abortion.
Right. One point on that question: there are no aborted fetuses involved in this process. The stem cells come from embryos.
Well, when we're creating these categories,
right.
Those are the answers given by the by respondents. So
right.
that.
Oh no, I'm
right.
certainly giving the respondents credit for it. But
right.
but they're saying something about.
Well, that may be a fear that they
right.
have, and
right.
that it may not be in fact true. In fact, another reason cited by 13% is that they oppose human cloning, and
right.
that this moves us closer to cloning. And certainly, that's a contentious matter as to whether this will or not. I think there's a specific provision that prohibits that, but even so, 13% fear that, and it's a reason for their taking a no side position.
Okay.
Other
yep.
reasons are that they don't think the state can afford it, that it creates too much debt, and they oppose new bonds, 20% say that, and that they oppose using tax money for this purpose, that they think this should be just left to private industry to pay for, 13% say that. So there's a number of no-side answers given by opponents of it, and it's different than the yes side, where there's very clear answers, yes, two clear answers as to why they're supporting it.
Does the fact that there are so many different answers for the no side mean that the opponents have more leeway or opportunity to put together essentially some kind of coalition of people who are opposed on different grounds that might help them as an approach?
Well, that's one way of looking at it, but actually I would look at it just the opposite, that if you have a couple very clear and concise reasons already communicated into the the voters' minds as to reasons for voting yes or no, usually those prevail, and campaigns are geared toward trying to give voters one or two clear reasons for voting yes. Whereas if you have a number of different reasons, it may add different pieces to the puzzle. But when you're trying to get the reasons out and communicating with voters who aren't already on board, it's harder to single out one thing, and so it becomes more problematic. And usually, again, the successful campaigns are those that really have one or two clear reasons at the end of the line as to why you're voting yes or why you're voting no.
So that clustering on the yes side is a plus for the yes
side. I think so. Yeah, because okay. those things are already out there, and you could assume that the voters who haven't heard yet would also rally behind those two reasons. So if you could stress them and get those reasons out in the future, those would be successful as well. Whereas the no side would have to either try to expand the proportion of voters who are pro-life or anti-abortion, which probably is a tough thing to do in a campaign, so they'd probably have to avoid that reason to try to expand more voters to their side. Probably the expense, so creating more debt, would have the common theme among more voters. I don't know if that will become a greater concern as time passes, but that would have more voters would have that as a potential common denominator reason for voting no than being pro-life.
So in a sense, it's like what happens with the with candidates of rallying your base, of solidifying and motivating your base. The base for the yes are the people who feel along those two lines, but the base is more scattered on for the no's, and therefore it's harder to do it with a simple message.
Right. It doesn't boil down to one or two simple messages, which
right.
is, I think, an easier task for supporters or opponents.
Okay. Next to the last question, what does all of this tell you about the sort of mechanism by which initiatives rise or fall, the fact that the opinions that people feel bring up in support of them largely come from the people who are telling them to vote that way,
mm-hmm.
and that in some cases the issues themselves are pretty complicated and they need to be reduced to simple messages, and just in general what the relationship is really between the campaigns on either side or all sides and the electorate and how they're being used or manipulated or educated.
Is the way laws become enacted, whether it's being done at the legislative level in the state legislatures with lobbyists on both sides trying to make their cases with individual legislators, or the two sides making their claims in a statewide proposition election. Actually, when we poll voters on who they feel are more influenced and by special interests and by these parochial claims, they believe that legislators are more likely to be influenced on that score than they themselves. So they trust themselves more than they do the legislature, and it's one of the reasons why voters in this state like the process of voting for propositions. Even if they are affected by advertising, I think they feel more confident in their own judgment than the more limited numbers of people who are making the same kinds of determinations in the legislature.
Right. So their perception is that they're more immune to the blandishments of these special interests, if we can call them that. And yet the facts, as shown in this, we're just focusing on one poll here,
mm-hmm.
seem to show that it's the kind of the simplicity multiplied by the amount of money of the special interest that dictates what the results are.
I'm not so sure. That's a loaded thing. I mean,
right.
people are making judgments, and the yes side advertisement does seem to have an effect. There's no question in my mind that in most campaigns, advertising, either yes or no, can have an effect, and usually that's why they do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't see these kind of multi-million-dollar advertising campaigns. So usually, you'll have advertising on both sides. But on this particular initiative, it seems most of the money seems to be on the yes side, and that is an advantage, especially on an initiative where voters in the early going have been fairly evenly divided on the issue. It's going to be getting more messages from the yes side due to the fact that it has more money. that's an influence. There's no question, and we'll wait and see how voters make their judgment, but that's the real world of politics.
How many more polls are you going to be doing on this before the election?
We'll be measuring one more time in the final week of the election.
Okay, and so if have you ever sat down and done developed an algorithm that shows the relationship between the amount of money spent and the number of ads put on TV and the change in the voting? And
now there's too many variables.
Too many variables for that. Okay, so overall, last question. What do you expect is going to happen with Prop 71 on election?
I don't know. We'll do another poll and we'll find out. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to do another poll if I already knew.
All right, good. All right, well, thanks very much for talking to us on California Politics Day, and I hope we can check back with you. When's the next poll going to be? The last
poll? Well, it'll be the final week of the election.
Okay, well, we can maybe talk about that then.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye.